Chapter 10. From the 6-story high bridge of the Ocean Adventure, Captain Irwin Lang had a gull's eye view of almost the entire length of the ship under his command. He had been at his lofty post when the helicopters had dropped out of the sky and landed on top of the container stacks. His initial reaction had been one of astonishment. That quickly changed to anger as he gazed through the big windows that overlooked the long deck. The captain took pride in his Teutonic imperturbability. His stolid character was mirrored in firmly set facial features that almost never changed from their expression of genial self-competence. This was different. His lantern-jawed frown deepened. The helicopters had landed without his permission. His logical mind quickly dismissed the possibility that the helicopters were in trouble. One helicopter, maybe, but not two. This was not right. Not proper. Peering through his binoculars, the captain became even more incensed as a dozen or so figures jumped from the helicopters and fanned out under the whirling rotors. All were dressed in black. He only caught a glimpse of the interlopers before they disappeared over the edge of the stack. But in that brief instant, he saw that they were carrying weapons. His anger turned to dismay. Pirates. Lang took a hard swallow. Impossible. Pirates operated in far-off places like Sumatra and the China Sea. There had been pirate attacks off the coast of Brazil and West Africa. But he found it inconceivable that sea marauders would operate in a frigid, fog-bound area like the Grand Banks. In his many years of sailing the Europe to America route, the captain's only brush with pirates had been a video produced by an insurance trade group. The shipping company that owned the ship under his command had distributed the video to its captains with instructions to watch it with their officers. The video showed fierce-eyed Asian pirates attacking a tanker in small, fast boats. Lang desperately tried to recall the lessons the video tried to instill. Vigilance is the best defense against piracy. No one warned about pirates dropping from the sky. Turn the ship into a citadel. Too late to lock all the doors. Don't fight the pirates. Not a chance. There was nothing more lethal than flare guns on board. None of the German officers or largely Filipino crew was trained in weapons use. Stay calm. Well, that was one thing he was good at. He turned to the bridge crew, which had been equally as startled at the sudden arrival of the helicopters. "I believe the ship is being attacked by pirates," he said, with the same unemotional tone he might have used to announce that a squall was imminent. The stricken face of his first officer suggested that the younger man had none of his captain's composure.
"Pirates? What should we do?"
"Do not offer resistance under any circumstances. I'll call for help."
He picked up the radio microphone, but the ship's radio speaker crackled as he was about to make a distress call.
"Calling the captain of the Ocean Adventure," a voice said.
"Do you hear me?"
Lang said, "This is the captain speaking. Who is this?"
The speaker ignored Lang's question.
"We are rounding up your crew. We are monitoring your radio transmissions and advise you not to call a mayday. Do you understand me, Captain Lang?"
How did they know his name?
The captain gulped out the words.
"Yes, I understand you."
"Good. Wait where you are." The captain's immediate thought was for the welfare of his 20-man crew. Maybe if he warned his men, they could hide. He picked up the ship's telephone and called the engine room. No answer. He tried the ship's mess hall. Silence. He fought back a growing sense of panic and tried the officer's lounge. Again, no answer. Heavy footsteps pounded on the bridge wing. A gang of armed men burst into the cabin.
Four men wore identical black uniforms, caps, and masks, hiding their faces except for their hard eyes. The fifth man was dressed in jeans and a foul weather jacket, and his face was uncovered. The captain recognized him as a Filipino named Juan who worked in the engine room. The captain assumed Juan was a captive until he noticed the pistol in the crewman's hand. The Filipino saw the consternation in the captain's face, and his mouth widened in a gap-toothed grin. The captain realized that Juan was working with the pirates. That's how they managed to take control so quickly. That's how they knew his name. Juan must have guided the attackers directly to the engine room and other parts of the ship. One man went over to the control panel and pushed the helmsman aside.
"What are you doing?" Captain Lang said.
The man punched coordinates into the ship's computer, using numbers printed on a piece of paper. The captain saw that he had put the ship on autopilot. The man finished his task and barked a command.
"You and others, down to the deck."
Lang stuck his prominent jaw out in defiance, but he did what he was told and ordered the rest of the crew to do the same. The cold breeze sweeping the open deck easily penetrated the captain's light jacket. He would have been chilled in any case by the sight that greeted him. The rest of his crew was being herded along by armed men. A second Filipino crewman, like Juan, seemed to be working with the pirates. Prodding the crew with their weapons, the pirates marched the frightened group to the aft deck. More pirates were gathered there around an object about as tall as a man. It was wrapped in canvas and was being trussed with several lengths of heavy rope. Lang's eyes went to the pirate who was examining the knots in the rope. He was tall, several inches over 6 feet, dwarfing the other hijackers, and he had arms that seemed too long even for his powerful body. The man turned around, and Lang saw that his face was uncovered. He gazed at the captain with angelic eyes.
"You did well to follow my orders, Captain," the man said.
Lang recognized the voice that had warned him against calling a mayday. The tone was surreal in its jovial warmth.
"Who are you?" the captain said. "Why are you on my ship?"
"Questions, questions," the man said with a shake of his head.
"It would take much longer to explain than we have."
The captain tried another tack.
"I will cooperate with you, only please, do not harm my crew."
The mouth that was almost feminine in its softness widened in a smile.
"Don't worry. We intend to leave you and this ship much as we found it."
Lang was no dummy. The fact that the man had chosen to bare his face meant he wasn't worried about witnesses identifying him later. At a nod from the gang's leader, a hijacker jabbed the captain with his gun and told him to lie face down on the deck with his crewmen. His hands and feet were tightly bound with tape.
"What about the woman?" Juan asked the baby-faced man. "What should we do with her?"
"Whatever you'd like," the lead hijacker said. "She has caused us a great deal of trouble. Just make it fast."
He seemed to lose interest in the subject and turned his attention back to the canvas-wrapped object. Juan stroked the handle of a knife hanging from his belt and strode off along the deck on his dark errand. He walked quickly in anticipation of his task. For days, he had watched Karina with lustful eyes, trying to imagine what she looked like under her layers of clothing. He licked his lips as he recalled the soft warmth of the supple female body that he had lifted into the container. He would only have a few minutes, but it would be long enough for her to experience a real man before he killed her. As he broke into a trot, he glanced out to sea and was startled to see that a vessel had emerged from the fog and was pacing the container ship. An inflatable boat with two men in it was bouncing over the waves toward the Ocean Adventure. The Filipino thought about calling for help,
but that would not leave him enough time with the woman. Lust won out over good sense. He would handle this himself. He crouched low and made his way along the deck. The boat seemed to be headed to a point amidships. The Filipino got there ahead of it. He drew his knife, flattened himself belly down on the deck like a crocodile waiting for its prey, and watched the boat as it drew nearer. This was going to be a special day.